It's been almost 5 years since we started this journey of building a software tool to liberate and educate entrepreneurs who wanted to change the world. This podcast reveals the tips and strategies we and our fellow entrepreneurs have used to start, build, grow, and scale their companies. My name is Dave Woodward. Join me as I take you behind the scenes so you can hear what works, what doesn't, and the strategies being used to get your message out to the world. Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Funnel Hacker Radio. This is honestly, I think, probably going to be my most exciting, most fun podcast I've done in the longest time because I have the one and only, my dear friend, Alex Ramosi. Welcome to the show, bud.
Thank you so much. I'm going to do my very best to try and mirror your energy. That's going to be my liking. Oh.
Dude, just seeing your shoulders and size, just that's what gives me so much energy. Like someday, somehow. I'm going to be able to have shoulders that are half the size of Alex's, and my wife is going to adore me and love me as much as Layla does you. So so excited, though. Honestly, it's been so fun for me to watch you in your business. For those of you who don't know Alex runs Gym Launch Secrets. So you can see gymlaunchsecrets.com/hybrid. We're going to talk about what hybrid is here in just a minute. But Alex, I remember, I think the first time I interviewed you was, it was like 3.5-4 years ago. And I think since then you've blown up your business at least 5 times that I'm aware of. It seems like every 9 months to a year, it goes completely up. But every time it's, you're like this rising phoenix. You never die. Coming back for more and more and more. It's the coolest thing. And you get bigger and better. It's just unbelievable. But with that, I want to turn the time over to you, let you talk. I don't want to be the only one talking on this podcast. But so tell me what, as you take a look, seriously, give some people, I know you too well, so I'm going to have to back up and give some backstory here. Little backstory, I think one of the funniest stories, one of my many with Alex, we actually were at Pirates Cove, I think it was 2 years ago now, and I had my boys there, and my son Chandler was trying to decide whether or not he was going to go to college. And I've got Brandon Poulin saying, oh, absolutely not, no reason to go to college, why would you stay in college? And look what all I've done. And then Alex says, well, let me tell you about my story at college. Why don't you fill people in on your story at college?
Well, I had a fun experience in college. I don't know how useful it was for making money and growing as a human being, but I definitely had an eventful few years while I was there. We had $250,000 a semester party budget. I was making Catalina Wine Mixer. I had an ice sculpture as big as the front door in our front lawn. We were like, did you really spend like $1,000 on ice sculpture? I was like, watch how many girls will come. And it was really a series of that. But I still worked 12 hours a day. I worked from 9 to 9 and then I would party at night. And so it was very regimented for me. It was regimented partying. There was.
But you know what? I think the cool part for me and what I really, my takeaway lessons to my boys was that the importance of, what you just said is you are so disciplined. I think one of the key words I would always use with you is as much fun as you have, your fun is tailored by discipline. And I don't know any business owner who is more disciplined, who works harder at continuing to master his craft, to grow his business, to grow his mindset, to learn from everything out there. And literally just go balls to the wall, push the envelope as far as possible. And that's really what I want to talk to you about is as you take a look at your, again, just, I know basically the last 4 or 5 years where I've seen businesses come and go. I've seen, literally millions of dollars come and go. And as you kind of take a look over the last few years, what are some of the major takeaway lessons that you've gained?
Gosh, that's such a good question. Learning how to market and sell is really the first skill that you need to acquire. So it depends on who we're talking to in the audience in terms of what they need, because one of the hardest things is getting advice from someone in the right sequence. You know what I mean? And so sometimes you hear people talk about like building the team and whatnot. And that's super important once you have a product that delivers a result and you know how to market and sell it. But until you have that, there's really no point in talking about how to build a team. But like lots of the stuff that's out there is leadership, team building, communication cadences, all that stuff, which is super important when you want to start scaling past 3 million, 10 million, 20 million. You're like, that stuff is unbelievably important. But it's like putting the cart before the horse unless you know how to actually market and sell. And so I think the few big lessons. Okay.
let's harp on that one because I think that's a real critical one. It's the very first time I met you, I was shocked to find out that you literally left home, went to Southern California, opened up a gym, had no place to stay. So you lived in a gym that did not have equipment, mind you. That was just a warehouse. And sold people on coming to a gym that had no equipment, but that sometime would have equipment. And then you couldn't afford to rent a place. So you slept there and then went and showered at the other gym that you had a membership to.
Yeah, I showered at LA Fitness down the street. Yeah.
So I think if just spend a few minutes talking about your very first lessons, again, you practice what you preach. You learned how to sell and to market.
Mm-hmm. And it was 100% by necessity. You know, I literally refused a sales job before I opened the gym because I was like, I'm not a salesman. Like that's icky. I have nothing to do with that. Like I'm a purist. I love fitness. I'm going to help you. Like that was my whole thing. And then as soon as I had signed the lease and realized I had $5,000 a month of rent that I had to start paying and I knew no one in the area, I was like, oh my God, I need to make money. And I literally never even had like a client up to that point, like anything realistic. So I was like, holy shit, I have to sell something. And so all of a sudden, like my whole world got flipped upside down and I was like, please sign up. I was just promising the world. I was like, I'll pick you up if I have to get you to the gym. Like I will drag your ass out of bed. Please come. And luckily I had like 29 people who signed up in the first 2 weeks because I had gone to a Facebook marketing seminar literally 14 days before my gym opened on a whim. And that was literally how I was able to. And so luckily I got into the marketing side super early. You know, it was 2013 when I was running my first Facebook ad. So it's definitely been a while. But to circle back to what you originally said about, you know, leaving home, driving cross country, I counted this because I was telling my team the origin stories, and there have been each pivot that I've done has given me another digit on my income. And so, and like, I can mark them. So like when I quit my job, I went from making 4 figures a month to 5 figures a month. And then I had the gyms, right? And so I scaled the gyms up. And then when I sold the gyms and then started launching gyms, which is when we started flying out to do basically gym turnarounds, we'd fly out, we'd fill the gym up. And this is right around when you, I think, first met me. Is I was telling Russell, I was like, we got this thing. This is how I launched all my gyms. I was like, I'm just going to launch other people's gyms now. And he was like, that sounds like a lot of work. He's like, you should teach people how to do that. And I was like, no, but this is my thing. And anyways, we very quickly, you know, saw that it was really hard to scale it. But really quickly, we're doing $300,000-$400,000 a month doing that business model. And that got me to 6 figures, right? So it was like 4 figures at my job, 5 figures when I had like taken when I had my gyms, 6 figures a month when we had the done for you model, and then 7 figures a month when we went to the done with you model. And right now the pivot that we're kind of going into with hybrid is basically what I expect will, and the trajectory we're on will be able to hit 8 figures per month probably by end of Q1. So it's been, you know, like each one of the pivots, it's not being romantic about what got you here to get to where you want to go. And a lot of people take a really long time between when they know they need to make the decision and when they actually make it. And so a lot of people sit in this area of discomfort in their job or their marriage or whatever. I don't want to say marriage, but like in their job. And they don't just like, you know, you don't want to be there. And it's the same thing if you have an employee that you're like, I hate this person. Like I've never thought I was going to fire someone and not ended up firing them eventually. just do it. You know what I mean? Just get it done with. And it's like, if you feel like this thing isn't right for you anymore and you see the writing on the wall, you see the new opportunity because you get smarter. You know what I mean? You get better. And so the strategy I had when I had multiple gyms, like it exposed me to more liability. I had more overhead. I had to put, you know, when I scaled each of the gyms, I had to take basically all my savings and put it into the next one. You know what I mean? So that's how I opened 6, but like I was asset rich and cash poor. You know what I mean? So I had all this liability and lots of, you know, revenue that was coming in, but because I was opening a new gym every 6 months, I was like, you know what I mean? I could see the writing on the wall and I had this plan to get to 10. And that was literally the moment when I met Russell and he was like, why don't you just, you know, start doing it? And that's when I did the done for you. And then we kind of pivoted, but it's been this evolution of trying to retool and figure out, and you get better and your skills get more honed and then you see the playing field more clearly. Right. And that's how you make better moves.
When making those moves, Alex, how do you deal with the fear?
Really great question. So the plan
have not been small moves. You don't do anything small.
No,
you literally have burned down a business. I mean, like, throwing them, you're all fired. I'm going to start from scratch.
Yes. When I sold the gyms, I definitely could have gotten way more money than I did for them. And my dad was like, why'd you do this? I was like, because I know what I'm doing next. And the opportunity cost of the time, and this is always how I thought about it, is like the opportunity cost of the time of trying to scrape nickels figuratively out of one thing, whereas I know I'm going to make five times as much doing the next thing, I might as well just start doing that. Best day to plant a tree is 20 years ago, second best day is today, right? And so I've kind of like run that. But in terms of the fear thing, knowing what your plan B is and being able to logic yourself through that, I think, at least for me, has eliminated a lot of the fear that you normally experience irrationally. So like when I had the gyms to quit my job, I was like, oh my God, what happens if this fails? I knew for me, that meant I was going to drive Uber during the day and I was going to strip at night. I'm being very candid with you. Like that was 100% my plan B. And I knew I could do 100 to 150,000 a year if I just did those two things. So I knew I was going to be okay. You know what I mean? Like worst case, I'm not going to go homeless. And you also have like, I have my parents' couch. They're not going to like kick me out on the street. I know that. And so we have these irrational fears that like, unless you're just a whore, like you have no personal connections and no one likes you and no one will let you sleep on their couch, like you'll probably be okay even if you have some in-between stages. So, but what's happened is that as your skill set levels up, your plan B gets better. And so my original plan B was pure work ethic. It's just Uber, you just hours, you know what I mean? And then once I learned how to sell and I knew I got good at sales, I knew my plan B was go to a car dealership. I knew I could go anywhere and sell cars and I know I can make $250,000, $500,000 a year. And I wouldn't have to like take my clothes off. So I was like, okay, this is my new plan B. And so that was the one that allowed me to sell the gyms and start Gym Launch, like Gym Launch flying out to other locations because we knew we were good at sales. And so that was kind of the plan B then. And I can tell you what each of the plan Bs was because I had to think about it each time. And so when we went from the Done For You Gym Launch to the Done With You Gym Launch, the Done For You Gym Launch was actually my plan B for the Done With You because I knew that even if I didn't want to have the team, if I just flew out, I could do 100,000 a month on my own, just me. Like no employees, nothing. I could do that on my own, just me selling. And so that was actually my plan B for doing the Done With You. And so you see what I'm saying? And then like now with Gym Launch as we have it, if for some reason something goes under, like there aren't that many people who've built a $50 million business who are our age and who've done it within this space in X period of time. And like, I know if I made a post on Facebook and was like, hey, I'm opening a group of X, Y, and Z people who want to scale from 10 million to 50, I know how to do it and we'll show you how. I'm pretty sure I could probably make a group of 50 people who would be willing to pay a decent amount of money for that advice. And I probably would be able to make $3 to $5 million a year just doing that and not working a ton. And so it's like the plan B just continues to get better. And so that's kind of, that's at least how I tackle the irrational fears.
I love it. I think the cool part about it though is knowing you, I also know that if it didn't work, you literally would have done the plan B. Whereas a lot of people talk about, I mean, again, if it was one of those things where you had to go live back with your parents on their couch and you had to strip and do Uber, you would have done it because it's just who you are. Where other people are like, it's a plan B, but I really would never do it. And I think that's the difference.
I think there's also like, cause like I mean, I'm a guy and I'm competitive as Russell says. And so like we have certain amounts of ego, but I tie my ego to the story. And so if I fail and I have to go home, I know it's part of the story. And so I don't feel like my status to myself doesn't go down by a shortcoming because it's, I believe it's going to a better purpose of like, I tell this to our team. I said, either we are growing or our business is growing. And so it's the symbiotic relationship of like, if things are breaking, it means that we are growing because we're learning from the failures that are happening, or we have now learned the lessons. And then the business starts growing again. And we just have to hope we keep growing fast enough before we start growing too much. You know
what I mean? Oh my gosh. Yeah. We've had those same examples here. I can't. Oh, geez. Oh, as you know.
It's just joys of scaling. I mean, it's just part of the game. That's been for the people who are on the fence. Like you never get more sure. In our sales training, one of the things we say is that like a lot of people think when they think like, I need to think about this, right? Is that they assume that more time creates better decisions, right? But more, it's information that creates better decisions. And so if you don't think you're going, like if you're not going to acquire more information, then you can make the decision today, right? And so like, if you're having a sale, it's like, I'm your source of information. you're not going to go find more information. I'm the one who's selling you right now. So like, ask me the questions you have, because it doesn't take time to make decisions, it takes information. So let me inform you so we can make this decision together. And so you like, I've been selling long enough that I sell myself.
I love that. Value bombs like crazy. Well, as you start taking a look at moving to this next phase, and I think, you know, it's always funny for me as I talk to people, like, well, you know, it's different for Alex. You know, he's already making $50 million a year. It's not that big of a deal. And, you know, he can go to that. I'm like, dude, you do not understand. You don't have any idea what it's like. It's nice to say that. And just having been around you and having been in conversations with you and Russell, let's talk right now about this whole gymlaunchsecrets.com/hybrid.
Yeah.
Because I'll let you explain hybrid, and then I'm going to tell you the story behind it.
Okay. So, I mean, the bigger you get, the harder everything is. And that's why fewer and fewer people reach the higher and higher amounts. So for every person who's like, well, once I get here, then it'll be easy. It's like, it literally, the air gets thinner, right? There's only a few people at the top of Everest, because the skill sets you require are harder. The team members that you need to have to be more skilled, because the people you hire underneath of you need to be as skilled as you were at that level 6 months ago. And to find someone who can either grow that way or come in and be at that level of skill set with experience is really difficult to find. And it's like, once you find the, like, once you finally get the team, that's when everything really blows up. But to the original, what was the original question?
No, as far as you're in a situation where you're now going to go to hybrid.
Yeah.
So let me kind of tell you my story behind this. So yeah. Alex is, again, blew this thing up, just huge, huge success, Gym Launch Secrets, basically going out and teaching other people in their gyms and then doing it done with you instead of done for you. And now basically going back to these people and saying, well, you know what you were doing? Everything I taught you, it's basically wrong. That's how I see your story. It's like, well, wait a second. I followed you all the way. Now you're telling me it's wrong. And that's how I see hybrid.
So fundamentally, if you have a brick and mortar facility, the original model that we espoused is 100% the best model in the market, period. It still is number one. But we're always going to, like, I mean, Gary Vee says this, and I just like the saying, it's just like, I want no one else to put me out of business but me, right? And so if I see, and like, one of the things that happened when we entered the space is that we put a lot of people out of business. And it wasn't in any malicious intent, because just like Amazon doesn't take people out, the future took those people out, right? Something better took them out. It wasn't me, it was going to be someone else, it doesn't matter. And so I just don't want anything to happen, and we make decisions with math. And so that's 100% how we've made every decision that we have business-wise is based on the math. Just look at the math. And so we always run tests. And so one of the processes that we run at Gym Launch is that we continually run beta tests on a regular basis for multiple fronts. So from lead generation to lead nurture to sales, different offers, different hooks, different price points. We test this stuff all the time because we have such a huge distribution network of facilities that we can test 20, 30, 40 facilities, which is usually bigger than most of the people who are out their entire business. But our test sizes are big enough that we can derive really good findings. And a lot of times the things we try don't work. I mean, it's just part of testing, right? But every once in a while you find something that's massive, right? And so I'm looking at like the trends, right? Who's getting funding? Where's kind of the overarching market going? And if you look at consumer preferences, it's all towards personalization. It's all towards on-demand services. And we're brick and mortar service. And so my job, like my vested interest is in making gym owners money, period. Whatever way that is where my vested interest is. And so I was like, I wonder if there's a way that we can kind of leverage a little bit of both, because purely online, you know this, purely online business is very easy to say it's easy, except for the fact that so few people make money in it. We're talking big picture, like real money, right? Not a lot of people make it. And it's because it's really difficult to sell in a low trust environment. It is, especially if you're starting out, right? If you don't have content, like you have no following, it's really difficult. Even just running paid ads, people are like, who are you, right? And it's hard. And so with hybrid, we basically took the trust of having brick and mortar and the ability to drive traffic into brick and mortar. It's easy to bring people to a gym, right? It's not difficult. Most gyms run 20, 30 people a month anyways. But the difficulty with brick and mortar service is that it's a low margin, high volume business. And so you have to do a lot of revenue to cover fixed overhead. Whereas in an online business, there's not nearly as much fixed overhead, right? It's just harder to make revenue. And so here, I was like, what if we had these people come in the door And then we just sold them online services when they came in there. So they come in person, but we sell them online. So we have 100% margin fulfillment, but we have the trust and the ease of acquisition of in person. And I was like, I don't know if this is going to work, honestly. I mean, we try stuff all the time. And we did try it, and it crushed. And I
mean, to me, it was just brilliant. When you first explained it to me, I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
I mean, I didn't know if it was going to, I mean, like, I don't know if it's going to work. Like, we tried tons of, I mean, we've tried other things and been like, well, that didn't work. I'm glad no one saw that one. You know what I mean? but this one worked. And I saw what this was going to do to the industry, because there's lots of different ways you can incorporate it. Because, like, for example, I mean, I don't want to get too niche down for everyone who's listening, but like, if you have a large group training facility, normally in order to scale, you eventually get to full capacity. Like, you have X square footage. There's nothing you can do. You have to take on, you have to sign another lease, and you have to take on more liability. And it's just like how you scale. With this, you can have a 500 square foot facility with 500 members, right? And so your earning potential and your square footage and your fixed overhead are now broken. The relationship's fundamentally broken. You no longer have that. And it's based purely on the quality of the service, right? And how, and so seeing that, I was like, wait, so you have an opportunity to increase. So the three stakeholders, clients get more personalization, they get more customization, it's on demand, right? So they're happy. They don't have to show up to a facility 5 days a week. They can just come twice a month just to check in. They don't have to come to the 4 a.m. class. Like, you know what I mean? They're not going to stick with it. I understand that. So for them, check. They're happy. And they get personalized nutrition, way more personalized attention than they would in a large group training environment. And they value it more. So the average ticket the average ticket for a normal gym is like $200 a month. For this, it's about $330 a month. So you're talking about another 60, 70% on the average ticket size, with the fulfillment cost being basically zero, right? The second stakeholder is the trainer, right? The coach is at the facility. Well, most coaches are underpaid at the facilities because it's just the model is just not, it's really difficult to pay people a lot. And there's a lot of supply. A lot of people want to train at a gym. Like, it's not the skill level is not super, you know, it's not a valuable skill to be able to train people in the marketplace. But with this, now the trainer doesn't have to wake up at 4 a.m. either to train clients. And so he's happy, and he or she can provide more personalized attention, can get people better results, and can cater them to their specific needs. So my mom can go to a hybrid facility, actually get great service and fulfillment at her level. She couldn't go to a CrossFit. You know what I mean? But if she walked into a CrossFit off of promotion, they have to just throw her into CrossFit because it's the only thing they have. Right? But with this, they can cater it to her level, and maybe she never does any of that. Maybe she just walks. But they now have that flexibility to do it. And then obviously the third stakeholder is the business owner. And so typically when you have something that increases customization, makes things more on demand, pays trainers more, you're like, oh crap, what is this going to cost me as a business owner? You're like, this is going to be horrible. But it actually is far more profitable, exposes you to less risk, and is higher average tickets. So your lifetime value is actually 4 to 5 times as high per client. And so when I see all of those numbers added up, I was like, this is going to fundamentally change the game. And so as soon as we saw all the numbers, it was like, this is it. And so I told all 1,000 gyms, I was like, hey, this is like, it was the epiphany bridge. I was like, this is what I'm like, this is what we did. And this is what I found. You don't have to do it. You can keep running the gyms the way you are. That's fine. But I think that if you don't do this, eventually that space will become more and more commoditized. And this will be the only way to compete in 2020, right? Or 2021. And you can either be late to it, or you can be early to it and max out on all of the profits you're going to make before that gets commoditized 5 years from now. So that's how.
No, I think honestly, the coolest part for me is, as an internet marketer, so often we always talk to people about, you know, go acquire your customers online, but realize you're going to make all of your money really offline. There's so much more money offline. So acquire your customers offline and then take online and then take them offline. You literally just turn it completely the opposite. Acquire all your customers by the trust of offline and then fulfill online.
Right.
And it's just such a cool model where, again, I think it can be applied to so many other different industries, especially anyone else who's struggling with the brick and mortar, where they know brick and mortar's dying. I mean, you see malls closing and businesses shutting down, all this kind of stuff, to create that type of a hybrid. And I think that the part I'm always most fascinated about whenever I spend time with you on this kind of stuff is just seeing how your mind works, where you are testing all of the time. I mean, you test more than anyone else I know. And I think the coolest thing is you don't fall in love with your tests. You literally let the metrics, whatever the metrics are, they are. It's like, yeah. I've got this great idea, but oh, you know what? That cost me $25,000. That was a stupid decision. But you know what? I learned from it.
Yeah, we run, I mean, we run about 50,000 a month in tests, in hard, like actual tests, period, per month, not including payroll. Like just like what we spend on marketing just to test out for our gyms on their behalf to see what's working right now. There's something you said that I've totally lost my train of thought, but yes, I agree. We test.
Well, I know you got a million things going and you're running a crazy business. I did want to ask you as far as the whole supplement thing.
Yep.
How are you adding that into the business model?
Well, actually hybrid works even better for it.
That's what I thought. So, that's how I wanted to expound on that.
That was not honest. Like my core is making gym owners money. Right. That's my core. And so I only make money when they make money. I don't sell locations. I'm not a franchise. So like they have to make profit, not even revenue. They have to make profit in order to pay me, very simply. Right. And so even if this had nothing to do with supplements, I would have done it, but it does actually happen to work even better than the in-person environment, because you're meeting with a client twice a month to check in with them. Every 14 days you're meeting with them. And so typically the way that one of those meetings would be is like, you're going to collect stats in the beginning. You're going to go over challenges that they've experienced. And then during the challenge period, if there are challenges that are there, then you're going to recommend the product that would best basically fill the gap for the issue that they're having. And in a coaching relationship, for anybody who's been in the health space, typically if I say, hey, you're having trouble sleeping, turn off your iPhone before you go to bed and maybe you don't watch TV, everyone's like, okay, doc. And then they just go keep doing exactly what they're doing. But if you pair an intervention with a purchase decision, then the likelihood that they adhere to the non-purchase decision intervention is much higher. So if I say those same things and then say, also, you should take Sleep Multiplier at the same time, then the likelihood that they adhere to it is significantly higher because of the purchase decision that's associated with it, because now they put their money where their attention is, right? And so that is what we found. And so for each phase in the process, there is a specific package that goes with each of the months. And so that way, they're really just following along the plan, and that further increases the lifetime value to the customers as well for the gym owner. And so, and because of the way that we structured the supplement company, it's all drop shipped to the end consumer. So they don't have to pick it up at the gym anyways. So it's kind of built for this anyways. So they're on multiple subscriptions with the gym owner. They have their supplement subscription and they have their service subscription. So that average ticket gives them an extra $82 per month in commissions to the gym. So that takes their $330 to like $412 per month in average ticket, which for a large group training facility, the average, not the guys who work with us, but like the average is between $118 and $129 a month is what they charge for larger training. And so our guys are now able to charge $400 a month in terms of how much they're actually making per customer and not have any of the fulfillment costs of classes or any of that stuff. They can downsize their facilities so that they're purely like an office with some scanning materials and the stuff that they need. It really becomes a sales office and they can do this. And so, and it also increases the addressable market, because if you're a personal trainer, for example, you don't have to have $50,000 to open up your gym. I can go to a gym down the street and say, hey, can I rent out one of your office for $100 a month? Most gym owners are like, sure, you know, who aren't with us, be like, sure, you can rent out an office, like have as much as you want. And they're like, I'm not going to take any of your customers. I'm just going to meet with people here. And so now you have all the benefits of the gym and you incurred none of the costs. And so now you can market and bring people into your gym, sell them into your remote training, have no cost. And literally, like I said, 20 to 30 people a month. Within 2 months, you've got 60 people paying you $400 a month. You're making 20 grand a month with no overhead. So this is why I get excited about hybrid. And this is why we had back-to-back record months after doing this, is because like the math is the math. You know what I mean? Like whenever we make any kind of announcement, the entire market in the gym space shifts, right? It's always reactionary, which I love. I think it's great. But it's either like, are you pro or are you against? It doesn't really matter. But the thing is like the math always wins. And that's what it was. The point I was going to say is that when we got into this space, there was a lot of people who were very romantic about the things that made them successful. So they had their way of doing things, but that way of doing things worked 5 years before and didn't work anymore. And so what they should have done was seen what we were doing early, copied it, and then immediately distributed it and beaten us to it. And then we would have been nothing, right? That's what they should have done. And so I will not let someone do that to me. And so I know I have everyone's courses. I have everyone's courses. You're new, you're this big, I have your course. I have your course. I know what's in it. And so if there's anything valuable, immediately distribute. Like, do you think Bezos cares about, like, oh, you found out that soap, whatever, is like a good market. Great, Amazon Basics. he doesn't care. It's strategy. It's business, right? And so kind of taking the romanticism out of it and just being like, we're here to provide value, period. And that's the game. You know what I mean? And so once you have the distribution base to be able to instantly distribute information, instantly distribute training, et cetera, then you, like, it's yours to lose if you have the hubris to not listen to the market and see what's new.
Ugh. Dude, I literally could talk for hours. The funniest thing to me, honestly, is how you started off in just hating the idea of selling. You talk in sales. I mean, it's the funniest thing. I'm like, dude, I'm like, where do I find, I'm going to have my son go sign up for $100. He's going to rent out space at a gym for $100. And
I honestly think it's interesting you say that, because so many times in my life, people ask me, they're like, dude, hearing you, I just want to open a gym. And I never, ever said you can do it, because I said, it's a hard business. You know what I mean? Like, it's a hard business. You have the people who get into it because they love fitness. They love helping people. And it was the same reason I got into it. But then you just face the financial realities that you need to learn how to run a business so that you can be profitable doing the thing you like. This is the first time where when someone asks me that question, I say, you really should open a hybrid gym. Because
I'm sitting here thinking, I've got a son who, Chandler.
No, I'm getting my brother-in-law he's got a business and his wife doesn't, and she's a marathon runner. And I was like, You should do this. And so we have a big software that's coming out in like 2 months that'll massively make it. It'll be so easy to do it like that. It'll be like turning on a button and making money. Like it'll be ridiculous. But
well, I need to become an affiliate of yours, because I've got a whole bunch of people I'm going to send to you. It's just crazy. No, but honestly, Alex, I think it's the coolest thing. Is I'm so happy for you and Layla. I really am. Just seeing the success the two of you have had, but most importantly, because you are so passionate about learning whatever it's going to take to get you that next level. I've been, jotting out a ton of notes here. And I loved one of the things you said as far as we're growing or our business is growing. And I think, man, too often people get so frustrated with that instead of appreciate the value that exists. If your business isn't growing, that means you are. And if you're not, then you're doing the totally wrong thing. But if you're growing, realize that your business eventually it will. And as long as you can just keep that momentum going and making it happen, it's there. So, dude, I could talk to you for days.
If I give one piece to everybody who's like stuck, if you have started a business and whatnot, is taking 100% responsibility for the skill set that you lack. So rather than saying like, I suck or I'm a failure, I can't make this work, whatever, or the market's tough, Facebook's hard, blah, 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 whatever it is, right? So I'll give you a sales example. You're like, no one can sell like me. I can't find someone who can sell. Like it's one of the early things of most entrepreneurs who are starting out, right? And the reality is, it's not that you can't find a salesman. It's just that you don't have the skill of managing salespeople. And so once you frame it that way and stop making it about the other person of like, I can't find good salespeople, but rather I don't know how to acquire, develop, and manage good salespeople, then it's something that you can now, it's under your control, and then you can acquire that skill. And then you now have that skill set, and now you have a sales team because you have acquired that skill. And so if you're looking at the bottlenecks in your business, if you never let anyone else take the fault for it and then reverse it as not like Facebook's hard, but rather I don't have the skills to acquire lead generation in this market. What do I need to learn to do that? Then you don't get bottlenecks. You just know exactly what you need to do, because your bottleneck is a deficit in skill, not in circumstance. And so anyways, that's probably just... It helps to think about it like that, at least for me.
Dude, man, an awesome value bomb to leave on. Well, those of you guys who want to spend more time with Alex, check out gemlaunchsecrets.com/hybrid. Again, it's gemlaunchsecrets.com/hybrid. And he's got a crazy, amazing podcast. Where should they get their podcast?
I think it's alexespodcast.com.
So hard to find.
Or it's just Gym Secrets if you're looking on Alex.
But no, I think it's really cool. Actually, I was talking with Dan Martell the other day, and he was saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe that I ran across Alex. And I'm like, dude, why in the world did you run across Alex earlier? He goes, no, it's like running a SaaS company is just like running a gym line.
I've learned so much. So all of the reading that I could show you right now, all of the books I'm reading about running SaaS businesses, because software as a service is service, right? You're just running software as a service. And I think in general, a lot of people who work in software tend to be smarter than, you know, the likes of me. And so I'm like, oh my God, these guys have codified and quantified every aspect of customer life cycles. And so I'm just like, I'm massively binging everything I can on SaaS businesses. And I'm like, I feel like right now I'm in this massive growth learning phase because of that connection. And it was Dan Martell who actually introduced me to all this content. So thanks to Dan, if you're listening.
No, honestly, I hired Dan as a consultant, which he doesn't even do. He's like, I've known him for years. I've met him at TNC on a yacht. And I'm like, Dan, I don't care what it's going to take. He goes, Dave, you know, I don't consult. I said, listen, I just need to be able to have access to you. He goes, well, it's going to be X. The dollar amount doesn't matter. Your experience and your knowledge. He goes, Dave, I don't care. Just name a dollar amount. And it's been great for us. I mean, yeah. As you know, I mean, we literally, our birthday's coming up September 23rd, and we are totally redoing everything. And again, it's, anyways, we could spend days. Can't wait to see you again, bud. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you for having me. See ya.
All right, hope you enjoyed the podcast. Right now, as we're going on our journey to 100,000 users, we really want to invite you along. And one of the ways we can invite you along is we want to find out what you think about what we're currently doing. So please rate, review this, share this with others, take a picture of this and post on Instagram, tag us in it, tag Funnel Hacker Radio or tag Dave Woodward. We'd love to know what your thoughts are. And most importantly, the ways that we can actually help you journey to whatever number of users or customers or community you're trying to build. Remember, you're just one funnel away.